finally decided to give a recent Winston Churchill movie a go, though I knew it would get on my nerves. Gary Oldman plays Churchill, and though I like Oldman and he looks the part, his voice is too high energy and high pitched for Churchill. Darkest Hour is set during World War II and the backdrop to Hitler's victories all across Europe. The British political class are under severe pressure and calls for an armistice are growing. But then Churchill replaces Chamberlain and, well, the rest is history. I was surprised at how far Darkest Hour went in depicting Churchill as an unpopular outsider, though it was cleverly done. Chamberlain and Lord Halifax are portrayed as shifty bastards not to be trusted because they wanted peace. And Halifax is played by Stannis Baratheon from Game of Thrones, the morose, daughter-burning nutcase. It's clever how they do that. According to Darkest Hour, what really mortified the British establishment was the thought of Hitler replacing them all with Oswald Mosley and the British Union of Fascists. And this apparently would have been a terrible thing for them anyway. Darkest Hour went into production before Brexit and Donald Trump, and that's what makes it interesting. Because Churchill may well be the outsider and unpopular, but he's essentially a populist here. He is the people's will manifest in government, and that makes him unpopular with the real elite. The myth has it that Churchill and the British people are imbued with a bulldog spirit, stubborn and pig-headed, eccentric but brave, not prone to grand schemes but or dreams, but willing to fight and die for what is right, even or especially when the odds are stacked against them. Since World War II, this self-flattering myth has saturated the British public through endless books and documentaries, movies, and not just the tribe stuff in Hollywood, but films like Darkest Hour, which we made for ourselves. To be patriotic in Britain is to be in awe of Churchill and Bulldogs, Spitfires and Tommies going over the top to stick it to the Hun. You see them on social media, you see them at Breitbart and the Daily Mail. Now the fight is against Islamofascism and the real fascists are the left and all the rest of it. And Churchill and the Bulldogs will come out fighting yet again. It's just a new battle against the same foes. Britain's post-war pride was largely built on these icons and myths surrounding World War II. Legend has it King Arthur and the Knights of Camelot returned to defend the skies in the Battle of Britain. Britain would forever remain pompously vigilant and watchful against any new madness emanating from the continent. Animosity toward first the European Economic Union and then the European Union itself was written right into the cultural DNA of post-war Britain. But the difference is when Brits lauded Churchill and the victory over National Socialism, the elites and the media tacitly approved. When that very mentality ushered in Brexit, their reaction could not have been more antagonistic. Now, the plucky underdogs were worthless gammon scum, racist little Englanders who just would not adapt to the New World Order. But what was the New Order in Europe then? Essentially, winners and losers of the war would go splits. Germany would become a bastion of liberal democracy Britain had fought for, and in return Britain and the rest of Europe would share in Germany's guilt and self-loathing. Liberal democracy and German guilt would be smeared all over the continent. The reason I'm a bit disrespectful of the post-war British myth, though, is because when the migrant masses began to arrive, that myth actually facilitated the multicult. It did not hinder it or prevent it in any way, because if your identity is one of feeling pride in and defending liberal democracy while also negating European racialism, then what is it you're complaining about when the non-whites arrive? The disconnect is that our people took their peoplehood for granted in ways the Germans did not. Liberal democracy and universal values were fine in the abstract, in theory, but nobody would be as cruel or vindictive or insane as to use those values to shift the Third World into England, would they? Would they? There's a scene in Darkest Hour when a depressed Churchill ventures down onto the underground to meet the public. He wants to know their views on the war, which at this point looks like a hopeless cause. The passengers on the train include a mixed race couple, black male, white female, of course. The black male then proceeds to quote Shakespeare to Churchill. I think it was from Hamlet. It's obviously politically correct, multicultural rubbish, but what's happening is that the post-war British myth is being retrofitted, adjusted and modified. A new layer has been added. Now, when Churchill asks the people if they still want to fight the Nazis, multiracialism is baked into the cake. Now, that's what they're fighting for. Tolerant and inclusive Britain would stand alone against the racists from the continent. British patriotism has been caught in this snare. It defined itself on being against racialism, but now that the coloureds were arriving, they couldn't budge from that position without trying to undo the entire legend. The battle over the post-war British myth amounts to whether or not the British, as led by Churchill, were just glorified Antifa. People often point out, though, that if these soldiers could see Britain today, they wouldn't have gone five steps up the beaches. But in the end, Spitfires didn't swoop down to prevent the ethnic cleansing of London, and the Tommies weren't allowed to hold the line against the mass rape in Rotherham. And anyway, just speaking in terms of invasions is a hate crime. We were betrayed. We were betrayed on the beaches and in the streets, betrayed in the gardens and in the hills. The British establishment surrendered instantly. But to who? There's a scene in The Darkest Hour when Churchill's wife breaks down in tears because they're flat broke and in debt. Somebody somewhere paid off the debt. And whoever that was, they were fine with Churchill sending tens of thousands of men to die to fight an enemy who was already willing to negotiate and call a truce. Maybe we'll find out in the sequel. The sequel probably won't arrive because at least one social justice site called Mediaversity slammed Darkest Hour. It's too pale, too stale, and perpetuates an image of Britain as being completely white once. The Darkest Hour and Churchill's myth was founded mainly on lies and falsifications, but now even those lies are inconvenient, and so now they too have to be swept away. After all, as the social justice warriors explain, the black bloke on the underground wasn't even in the script. So given that we know that there's lies being added to the myth now, then why take any of it seriously? What else is untrue? If you peel back the layers, is there any truth to any of it? This great British myth? Probably some, but you don't know because you just get lost in it all. Modern liberals don't care too much about facts anyway. They care about narratives. And post-Brexit, they understand that the Darkest Hour narrative has to go. The narrative that I'm interested in, which is actually based on fact, is that no people in history have been led by more venal, backstabbing scum than the constantly treasonous British elites and their handlers, whoever those handlers happen to be. Thanks for listening, folks. See you later.